Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Dr. Rosaline McDonagh is a playwright, a columnist, a human rights commissioner and a board member with Pavey Point Travellers Centre. Her first book is called Unsettled. It's published by Skeen Press and it's a series of personal essays about disability, activism, hair, friendship and above all family. Rosaline, you're very welcome to the studio.
Hello, Claire. It's lovely to meet you.
It's great to have you with us and I enjoyed your book immensely. And I was wondering as I was reading it, was it something that you always wanted to write your own story?
No, I was afraid that someone else would do it on me. I wanted to do fiction, and that would be my area. Mm-hmm. But when I sat down to write, there was a lot of rubble in the way.
And the rubble you feel was the things you needed to express before you got to the point where the fiction book was going to happen. Is that it, that you felt you needed to clear this away?
I suppose there's been a lot of avoidance in my life. You can't avoid everything.
There's a lot of joy in the book. There's a lot of humour in the book, but there is a lot of pain in the book. And I could feel that in almost every page, that there is searing anger at points, Rosaline, if you don't mind me saying, coming through when you're describing some of the experiences that you had right throughout your life.
Yeah, I think as women, I'm not the first woman to say we're not allowed to be angry, or we're told to temper it or harness it. And I think if more women were angry, the world would be a different place.
Do you feel that you've learned to channel your anger in a productive way?
No. I mean, I wish I was, but I am what I am. And I mean, if you push, like anybody, if you push the wrong button on the wrong day, it's there.
Mm-hmm. Your life is a very different one to the life lived and that is being lived by your siblings. And there were another 19 in your family. So it was your decision to follow this path into education, which you describe as being a painful choice, but one that you felt you couldn't avoid because it was pushing you there all of the time.
And what else would I have done? Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't going to get a job in the local supermarket or the local restaurant. Not that there's anything wrong with.
Yeah, but you had a strong desire, hadn't you? I mean, you were always interested in reading and you had this passion, you were driven to pursue education. I mean, not everybody would do that, even if they felt they had no option for employment. Not everybody would push the education as far as you have done.
Yeah, but I would hate you or anyone to get the impression that it was the sole motivation. Mm-hmm. It filled a hole. You know, it filled time. Education never made me happy. Education was a job, it was a task, it was a milestone that I could never reach. It was a job that was hanging over me because of my childhood.
It must have created difference, did it? Or explain to me whether it did or not, within your family, because your experience of life was very different. And you describe your mother going to your graduation and the great pride that she had in that moment. But it must have been an alien moment for her.
Yeah, but then it was, I had moments at their weddings or their events when it would have been alien to me. My sisters and brothers have individual personalities as well as individual lives, and we find a way to connect.
Mm-hmm. The family that you grew up in, you describe as very loving, but because of your cerebral palsy, there were periods, weren't there, where you were separated from them and you spent time in care homes, in nursing homes, in psychiatric units. There was abuse and violence, which you describe in that book, in those places where you lived, but you didn't speak to your family about it at the time that it was happening. Can you explain why?
You're a mother. You have children. You're also a daughter. And you know when it's not fair to expose that kind of situation to your mother. Also, at them times, we didn't have the language of abuse that there is now. Some of us would have thought that behavior or that practice was normal, particularly if you were a traveler or a disabled person. It was normal.
There was a scene I read about it, when I read it in your book, about your father. You were going out on a date, or it was like a Trinity night out, wasn't it? And your father was really anxious about this. It took him a long time to agree to it happening. And he was just concerned about what might happen if you had contact with settled people and if you were operating outside of your environment. And he didn't really understand it and so on. And I was wondering, as I read that, was that part of the reason why you wouldn't tell him? Because of his anxiety around all of this, that it would just cause distress, wouldn't it?
And also, when you're young, it's important to have some secrets from your family, and that was mine. But also, there's a fine balance between protection and control. And as a traveller woman, there's a very fine line to walk. And also, I didn't want to live a lie and pretend that I was the perfect traveller woman, because I'm not.
That brings me to the decision to cut your hair. Way back then, which you write about so eloquently, and you describe the importance of hair in your culture.
You know what I did yesterday? That was the worst foolish chapter I ever written, because since I wrote it, people coming up to me, "Oh, you have lovely hair," touching me.
Touching your hair.
And even if I was having a bad hair day, you know, I couldn't run over to get milk in the shop. And then yesterday, I was just so overwhelmed with all the publicity. I went into my hairdresser and I said, "Kathy, do your worst." So I have a bob now.
So you've cut it again because of all of the attention. And now we're talking about the hair again. So it's all going to happen once more. But you describe the plaiting of the hair, the oiling of the hair. It's such an evocative image, though, that you've given us in that chapter, even though you might regret writing it now. It is lovely for us to read it.
Well, I come from a huge family. There was 11 girls and 9 boys. And all of us had long hair. And I was always kind of fascinated the way other ethnic minority women, Asian women, Muslim women, how they would do their hair. And I always felt travellers do that, but it's not as valued as other cultures.
That speaks maybe to a wider issue around how traveller culture is perceived in this country, would you say?
Yeah, I, you know, it's very funny at my age, I mean my middle years. On the one hand, our culture has changed somewhat in a positive way. But on another hand, you know, you read that report by the Children's Ombudsman and you just think, what's wrong?
This was the description of how children in particular were living in this site, rats, and they were crawling up the side of the trailer in one situation, and the bathroom facilities were absolutely horrendous. The children were walking through muck and dirt in order to get to school, and they described their feelings of shame once they got there. So when you see something like that happening in 2021, while you say things have changed a lot, what you're also saying to me is that they haven't changed enough.
And also our health status, our suicide rates, our sense of identity, our sense of self-worth. I know, you know, people celebrate, people like me, the shiny, clean traveller. And I think there's a lot more travellers who are really struggling with their self-esteem and struggling with identity issues. And we haven't managed to kind of grapple with that And for me, I know it's a response to racism. But Claire, you know, a lot of us inherit histories, whether you're a politician, a local councillor, you know, you inherit old ways of doing bad stuff. I don't think any of that has been rooted out of the Irish
scientists. On activism, you mentioned activism.
I was a dreadful activist.
You were a dreadful activist. But well, you say it's like a mosh pit, you know, that it can be exciting. But the other path then is policy change. And you yourself made a couple of attempts to get elected to the Shannon. But maybe go back and tell me why you think you were a terrible activist.
But I was useless. You're going to end on in my peers and my friend. I could do a press release. I could do a kind of a half-assed slogan. I was a disaster. I mean, people have this idea that, and I know younger women think activism is wonderful, and it is wonderful, but you're made one, and I wasn't made one.
So when someone says, and plenty of people are saying and do say and have said over the years, that you're a role model, are you comfortable with that?
Absolutely not. No way. It puts a lot of pressure on me. I don't want, thank you very much. But also puts pressure on younger people. Be yourself. You know, make your own path and journey and rules.
You were sick in January. You caught COVID and it was bad. You were on a ventilator. Is that right?
Yeah.
How are you now? Are you fully recovered, would you say?
In Grand sure, I'm only out of the Abbey. I had to run to the place. I suppose in a more serious way, I'm very lucky there. A lot of people didn't make it. I got the best of care from St. Vincent's. I also feel that lots of disabled people who are considered vulnerable because of our condition. I'm kind of worried about the opening up of the country and where our lives are and how to get back into the public fabric of Irish life. You know, we're all not Paralympians and we're all not here for Christmas. We're here all year round. And one thing about being sick, that I suppose I learned the value of every breath, every cup of tea that I enjoy, every pleasure of everyday, the radio, yourself, or music, just learning to slow down and also to just take better care of myself.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, it's great to see you in good health, and maybe that's a good place to leave it. People can take a bit of time out, catch their breath and sit down with your book. So once again, a reminder that the book is called Unsettled by Rosaline McDonagh. It's published by Skene Press, and Rosaline's new play Walls and Windows is available on demand until the 11th of September on abbeytheatre.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.